Good evening, everybody. We are approaching Parshas Shmini, as well as Parshas HaChodesh, the last of the Arba Parshios. We'll talk about Rosh Chodesh, and we are approaching Pesach. The very first siman, which discusses Hilchos Pesach, is going to discuss the unique halachic status to the month of Nisan. So this evening, Bezras Hashem, we'll learn a little bit of Parsha, and then we will segue into the halachos that are unique to Chodesh Nisan. I'll learn some halacha, learn some hashkafa. Hopefully, I have some good stories along the way. So here we go. Does the parsha mention Chodesh Nisan in it? Shmini. Vahi b'yom haShmini. It was on the eighth day. Kara Moshe l'Aaron u'Levano v'Lizikna Yisrael. So the Shiva Shemei Miluim, the 7 days of preparing the Mishkan, were now over. It was on the eighth day. This was going to be quote unquote opening day for the Mishkan, the day where Aaron and his sons take over. What day was it? Says Rashi, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That was the day that the Mishkan was established. And what do we know about Rosh Chodesh Nisan? V'natal Eser Atarot. That day took 10 crowns. Fascinating. There is a day on the calendar that is so holy that it has, quote unquote, 10 crowns. Now, speaking of crowns, you're a dentist, you hear the word crown, you think of teeth. Why do I know this, Rashi? I was a senior in high school. I had my wisdom teeth pulled. And it was Parsha Shmini. I remember learning this Rashi. It was one of the worst days of my life. You know why? Because they pull your teeth. And you know what they tell you? You can't eat before. But guess what they give you right after they pull your teeth? They give you antibiotics. What happens if you have antibiotics on an empty stomach? Dr. Karp, what happens? It can mess with you. So just before like my stomach like turned into another world that day, I remember learning this Rashi. That was the last memory I had. Before I'm like, I'm never getting my teeth pulled again. So says the Siv Zechem, what are these 10 crowns? But this Rashi has a special place in my heart because this was the Rashi that I learned right after my teeth were pulled out. So my wisdom teeth. So here are the 10 crowns. You ready? Number one, it was Rishon Lamasa Bereshis. Hashem created the world in Nisan, right? A little bit of machlokas there, but all right. Rishon L'chadashim. First of the months, we know that, right? That's fair game, right? You know, we count by Nisan. Third one, Rishon L'Nisim. So for the first 12 days of Nisan, a Shevet was represented with its leader, its Nasi. So that started on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, good. Rishon L'Kahuna. It was the first day that Aaron and his sons officiated as Kohanim. For the previous 7 days, Moshe was the Kohen. La'avoda was the first day that the Kohanim not only were Kohanim, but they served in the Mishkan. Number, what number up to? Liridas Ha'esh. That was the day the fire came down. Wow. Number, whatever we're up to. Achilas Kachim. That was the first day you could eat Kachim. Number, whatever. Isser Abamos. From this point on, since we have a central Mishkan, you can no longer have a private altar. Number nine. Lishkon Shechina B'Yisrael. Beautiful. This is the key one. The Shechina was dwelling among us starting Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And finally, Levarech Et Yisrael. There was a beautiful bracha that we were going to get. Moshe and Aaron, Birkas Kohanim, in the Parsha, that's black and white in the Parsha as well. Birkas Kohanim, I guess he's referring to. That being said, it's a very, very holy day. Very unique day. Major things happened on this day. So if you were to ask me what's so special about Chodesh Nisan, I would actually, ironically, not really speak about Pesach at all. None of the 10 items on that list had anything to do with matzah, a korban Pesach, nothing, right? It had to do with the Shechina, the Mishkan. Okay, it has to do with the first of the months.
No, but that's the reason.
Oh, okay. There we'll learn. So Adam argues, why is it the first of the months? Why is it the first of the months? Obviously, it's related to, he says, Mitzrayim, says Adam. All right, we'll have to learn about it. Very good. So this is the fourth of the Dal Parsha. So we just learned a little bit of the Parsha Shmini. Some Rashi with a Sif Sei Chachamim. And in addition to Parsha Shmini, we're also going to be laning HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem as Maftir, 20 Psukim, where we get the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. And guess what else is in that Parsha? Korban Pesach. And the mitzvahs related to the Chag of Pesach. And there's a tension all of a sudden. What is the big deal about Nisan? Is it inherently valuable, regardless of Pesach? Or is it only valuable because of Pesach? That's going to be a question to keep on our minds. So the first of the Arba Parshios is Shkalim. Okay, and the last is Achodesh. What's the deal with Shkal, and why is that important? We have to remind everybody to donate the Machas to Shekel. Why? Says Rashi Megillah of Tesamet Aleph, Kidei Sheyakrivu Be'echad B'Nisan. We need to use that money starting in Nisan. Okay, and what about Parsha Zachor? All right, that's about Amalek. We know that one. Parah Aduma is the third. Why are we having Parah Aduma? Why was that last week's Parsha? L'hazir Ez Yisrael L'tayr Sheyasu Pischehen B'tahara. So the actual ironic first time we've heard about Pesach this evening is in a Rashi related to Parsha's Parah. The whole idea was to remind ourselves to become Tahor with the Parah Aduma. Why do we need to become Tahor in the month of Nisan? So that we could properly bring the Korban Pesach. Very nice. And what about Chodesh Kislev Lachem? Here's where the tension really starts to bubble. If you were Rashi, what would you comment? We have to read about the Rosh Chodesh this Shabbos. Why? Says Rashi, Shesham Parshat HaPesach. Ooh. In those 20 psukim, in Parshas HaChodesh, we are told about the mitzvahs related to the Korban Pesach, or the holiday of Pesach. Ooh, so would you argue that the phrase Parshas HaChodesh is a little misleading? Because according to that Shita and Rashi, it's not about Rosh Chodesh, it's about getting ready for the mitzvahs of Pesach proper. So it's not really Parshas HaChodesh as much as it's Parshas HaPesach. However, Rashi quotes a Yushalmi. Gemara Yushalmi says, really, you should have put Achodesh as number 3 and Par as number 4. Why? Because what does Parshas Achodesh speak about? The Mishkan. You can't bring a Par Aduma unless you have a Mishkan. So the truth is, from a chronological point of view, says the Rishon, you should have Achodesh as Elachem, which was the first of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, because they only burned the Par Aduma on the second of Nisan when they had the Mishkan already operating. So what do I want to say? What does Mandel Zayim want to say? What's the Machlokas Bavli Rishami? Is the main point of Parshas HaChodesh A, for the Chag of Pesach, that's the Bavli, or B, is it about the Chodesh Nisan intrinsically? Because according to the Rishami, it's about the Mishkan. Did we have the Mishkan of Chodesh Nisan? Yes. And that has nothing to do with Chag HaMatzos. Don't talk to me about matzah or maror or any paschal lambs. Just the month inherently has value. And this is going to not go away. It's not going to go away. So the Gemara Megillah says there's a Haftorah the Shabbos, Yechezkel. What does that Haftorah speak about? It speaks about Be'echad Lachodesh, take a par, V'chitesa es Hamikdash. Purify the Beis HaMikdash. Put blood on the doorpost. We're not talking about the doorpost of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're talking about the Beis HaMikdash. And guess what the Navi then speaks about? The 7 days of purifying the Beis HaMikdash. And then only Chavalev says, Barish Marba Asar L'Chodesh Yelachem HaPasach Chag Shavuos Yamim Matzos Yachel. So we see the same tension. Guess what? In Yechezkel HaNavi, in this week's Haftorah, for Parshas HaChodesh, it speaks again both about the sanctity of the Mikdash, namely the Mishkan, and Chag HaPesach. So there's a duality that goes hand in hand. We are celebrating the Mishkan and the Pesach, the Chag and the Kedusha of the month. Can you have one without the other? Seemingly, yes. There are two things that certainly will overlap, but even in the Navi Yechezkel, it doesn't only speak about the Meis HaMikdash, it doesn't only speak about Pesach, it speaks about both of them. How beautiful that is. Now, if you learn about the four Parshos, would you argue that they are four distinct Parshot, or would you argue that there is a process by which we go from one to four? Not four distinct Shabboses, but a process of one to four. What makes more sense? What would you say? It's a process, right? Why do we know that now? Because what was Shkalim all about? Shkalim, in number one, was all about what? Preparing for Nisan, right? So I was speaking to my beloved Talmud, who shall remain nameless, but his first name is Micah. And I was in his house for the south of Cedar Shabbaton. And I was going to quote the Rambam Hilchos Shkalim, because it was Parsha Shkalim. And before Shalosh Shudas, I wanted a Ramban Ala Torah and the Rambam Hilchos Shkalim. And I said, Micah, can I please get the Ramban Ala Torah and the Rambam Hilchos Shkalim? And Micah said, which sefer in the Rambam is Hilchos Shkalim in? And I said, it's probably like Hilchos Matnas Aniyim. It's probably related to like Zra'im. Something, and then I'm like, no, it's not. The Rambam's Hilchos Staka, Matnas Aniyim, is related to agriculture, Zra'im. But where is Shkalim in Shas, Seder Moed? Where is the Rambam's Shkalim in the Arach HaZaka? In his Sefer Zmanim. So it was like funny, because in my head, the reason I made that little, I was like, wait, ooh, because it's a whole border for Soloveitchik. And I was speaking to my colleague, genius, Eloy, Rabbi Daniel Friedman Shlita, who is a big tzaddik, a gaon, and also the RCBC representative to the Jewish Political Action Committee. So shout out to him. And I was speaking to him, I said, no, it's funny that the Rambam Hilchos Shkalim is in Zmanim, no? He said, yeah, like I always would have thought it was like in Korbanos. It's like, it's part of Korbanos, Avoda. And I said, yeah, maybe it's also related to Tztaka, like in Matnas Aniyim. He said, yeah, but what do you see from that? It's part of the festival cycle. It's part of the Moadim. Part of the Moadim. So what does the Rambam say? The Rambam says like this, that in Tfila, Hilchos Tfila, Yud Gimel Chav Aleph, the Rambam says, sometimes you're going to have a break between the four parashas. They don't always go hand in hand. But what's always back to back? What's always back to back? Para and Achodesh are always back to back. You're never going to have four. You're not always going to have four in a row, right? The Arba Parshios are often like this year. What do we have? We had Shkalim, and then we had a gap. Then we had Zachor, because Purim was Motzei Shabbos, right? So there's one Shabbos between one and two. But last week was Parah, number three, and this week is Achodesh. So three and four are always back to back weeks. Gaba, you hear? So therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan quotes the Rambam, and he says, you know, you have to explain that in the Arba Parshios, they are grouped together. But the third and fourth are interconnected. They're interconnected because you can't separate the concept of para from achodesh. What's the connection? What's the whole point of Parshas para? Purify yourself for what? For the Korban Pesach. So, and the Chodesh is all about the Korban Pesach, all about the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. So, Mederach Lamdus, we argue that at least three to four go together. That's black and white and the Aruch HaShulchan. But then Rabbi Friedman was telling me, no, it's not only three to four, it's one, two, three, and four are all one unit with Parashas HaChodesh as the crescendo. And I want to prove it because even Shkalim was already about the Mishkan. And I said, this must be written sound somewhere. Rabbi Friedman thought of it himself. I'm like, this is too Rav Soloveitchik-like to not be Rav Soloveitchik. So I opened the Harei Kedem on Purim, and guess what the Rav? The Rav has his whole Yisod, and he says, basically, like a Marishalmi, that the Arba Parshios are clearly not four distinct Parshios, but they're all one unit. And again, as we're elaborating, the whole idea is to climax at the Korban Pesach or the Hashrash HaShchina of Nisan. Again, you could kind of conclude that Yisod in one or two ways. But the whole idea was to start Parsha Shkalim as a process to get the Hashras HaShchina of Nisan. And that's why Rabbi Friedman said, look at the Rambam. Parsha Shkalim is not about Korbanos, even though it's kind of like a Korban. Everyone has to give Machas Shekel to the Beis HaMikdash. But it's about the cycle of the Moadim. It's about getting to Nisan. It's about the holiday season. It's not just about a tax, finish your tax deadline. No, it's about arriving at Chodesh Nisan. Okay, a little bit belumdus over there. Okay, so now that we have this grandiose month, of Nisan, is the halacha affected because it's so special? What's the major halacha that everyone knows in Nisan? Once Nisan arrives, what happens? Why does everyone in Shul get happy? They don't say tachanun. E noflim al pneim b'chol Chodesh Nisan. No tachanun. Number one. Now, what, the whole month that I can say tachanun? Why, says the Mishiburah? Well, the first 12 days are holidays. Why? Because the first 12 days, the Nisim all brought their korbanos. Says we're gonna learn about that. There was an inauguration. There was a Chanukah Samishkan because every shavit brought the, you know, the welcoming korbanos to the Mishkan. Beautiful. Okay, so that's first 12 days. Fine, fine, fine. And that was Yom Tov. What about Pesach? Well, Erev Pesach. So you have the first 12. Erev Pesach is a holiday. And then you have the 7 days of Pesach and Isru Chag. So eventually, what have you realized? That most of the month is already a holiday. And therefore what? Therefore what?
What's about this holiday?
So once Rove of the holiday is a holiday, once Rove of the month is a holiday, we say the whole thing is a holiday. That's interesting. A little bit of a funny, no? Well, because most of the holidays, most of the month's a holiday, the whole thing is a holiday? What does that mean? Most? You go Rove by Tachanun? What if I said most people in the room didn't want to say Tachanun? So we don't say Tachanun. So that requires a little bit of a hesber. But that is the Mishabura's comment. And therefore, because most of the month is considered to be a holiday, the halacha is recognizing the month as a joyous holiday. Beautiful. By the way, what does Rashi say? Mishenichas Adam Arben B'Simcha, Yimei Nisim Purim U'Pesach. Right? The whole month takes on a status. It's like Adar. Again, but we stay talking in before Nisan, between Purim and Adar. All right, either way. So the first halacha that we've learned this evening about Nisan proper, besides the Parashat Chodesh, that we don't say Tachan in the whole month. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch continues. We don't say Tzitchatz Chatzedek at Shabbos at Mincha. Wow, that's nice. So that saves us, so those of us who are rushing frantically to wash, have a kazayas of challah before Shkia, all right, I got a little crazy that week. Adam, you know it's out of love, though, right? You know it's out of love, always, always. If anyone wants to see me yell at Adam once a week, it's right before Shabbos afternoon mincha. I'm like, Adam, Ashrei Yisrael Yizecha. Like, wow, Rabbi Leifer's still giving.
Friday afternoon,
we're going to get a plug. Yeah, I'm like, it's mine. I don't mess around with mine. All right, moving around. So says, but Adam, is that all? You're mocha me, Adam? Yeah, it's a minug for a rabbi to ask mechila from the Gabbai every month. Okay, so it's a new minug in Fairland, New Jersey. Says the Mishaburu, we don't say Tzitzchotcha, you know what? We also don't say the Hiratzon on Mondays and Thursdays. We know after Hagba on Mondays and Thursdays, the Chazan says all those Hiratzon, right? Yavinu Shemeno, yeah, whatever. So we don't say that. Ve'in maskirin bo neshamos. We don't say the Yizkor thing on Shabbos, the Kelmaleis, we're not doing all the Chodesh Nisan.
Also, I think you're referring to on Shabbos.
You used to do it on Shabbos afternoon. Well, I'm Shabbos morning.
Shabbos
Muslim.
Morning, you see.
Right.
Then also, if you have a yard site.
Yard site. There it is. So, see the Kadin at a funeral. Kaddish, we wouldn't do. And the idea is, V'haklas, as a Mishmur, the see the Kadin, V'tzitchot Tzedek, V'rach Mechanun, they're all the same. Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, after Chatzos, we don't say. But Erev Rosh Chodesh, Erev Chanukah, after Chatzos, we would say see the Kadin. So, again, when you're officiating a funeral, you have to know when to say see the Kadin, when to not say the Kadin. And there's a concept of people reading the actual parsha of the korbanos of the Nesiim every day. We don't do that. We don't take out an extra Sefer Torah or any Sefer Torah on a non-Monday, Thursday to read the korbanos of the Nesiim. But that's such a concept in Minhagim. I wonder if anyone still does that. Okay, now back to the Shulchan Aruch. What don't we do in Nisan? So we said, don't know Tachanun. We don't say Tichot Tzedek Shabbos Mincha. Ve'in Mafsidin. No eulogies. We would not proclaim a public fast day. So even though since October 7th, there have been public fast days proclaimed, we wouldn't do that seemingly in the month of Nisan. Wow. The only exception, obviously, is the firstborn on Erev Pesach. The Ramah points out, we don't say Tzidka Tzidin, the whole Chodesh Nisan. The whole Chodesh Nisan. And says the Ramah, V'nagu she'e mis'anin bo tainus klal, no fasting. So the Shulchan Aruch said, what, not to fast, a public fast. Now the Ramah is saying, even if it's a yurtzeit, no fasting. What's the one exception always? Tainus Chalom. So the Mishnah Berurah says, the whole month of Nisan we don't fast. Even Erev Rosh Chodesh Iyar, we don't fast. Even if you normally fast on Erev Rosh Chodesh, which is called Yom Kippur Katan, no. What if you get married? You normally fast the day of a chuppah, minug. What would you say? Chasen and Kala, they do fast. Even on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, argues the Mishnah Berurah. Now again, the minug nowadays is, we often tell Chasen and Kala is not to fast in general. If not a good fast, it could ruin the whole wedding. And certainly Rosh Chodesh, I've seen people be lenient. However, black and white in the Mishnah Berurah is that a Chasen and Kala at least have the right to fast in the month of Nisan, and even on Rosh Chodesh Nisan itself. Wow. Okay. So this actually comes up black on white in the Shulchan Aruch. Tav Kuf Ayin Gimel is where the Shulchan Aruch describes, addresses the laws of fast days in general. And there, the Ramah writes, Mi sheyesh lo nisuin b'chanaka ein lo lis anos. So let's say someone has a wedding on Chanukah. Do not fast. Aval yesh lo nisuin b'nisan. So it wasn't just the Mishabru, it's the Ramah black on white. If you're getting married in Nisan, you get married and you also fast, even on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Why? We know there's a concept that we fast on the day of our wedding because, why? We know it's a day of forgiving our sins. Yeah, exactly. Mishabru says black on white. That day of our chuppah, Hashem forgives us and we should do vidui on all of our sins. There's also another reason we don't want the chasen akala to be drunk. I think we usually know the first reason. Okay, no, don't drink. Don't drink and wed. Don't drink and wed. All right, Robert. All right, Robert. You remember? Well, do you remember your wedding? So that proves you were not drunk. Okay, good. There you go. It's a trick question. Good, proud of you, Robert. Okay, Baruch Hashem. All right. So there is a concept, says the Mishabura, that a nisan a chasen akala fast. Why? What's the pshat? It's minog versus minog. Why don't we fast in Nisan? That's only the halachic status of a minog. So you can argue that one minog could trump another minog. So if there's a minog to not fast in Nisan, that can be outpowered by the minog to fast on your wedding day. So it's not crazy to say that we overrule the din of not fasting in Nisan because it's not really a halacha. It's a minog. So that's a fascinating question when you have contradictory minhagim. Ooh, it's a nice shir for another time maybe. Okay, let's move on. So, there is a question that you don't fast at all. That's what we just said. Chasen and Kala, we just said, do fast. But if you look at the Kaf HaChaim, he quotes other Svarim that says that, no. You should really not fast on the day of your chuppah. So that's a concept, that you could be lenient. So any Chasen and Kala who are looking for a leniency to specifically not fast on the day of their wedding in the month of Nisan, so you look up at the Kaf HaChaim, and there's a lot there, and he says that's really the real halacha. Okay, all right, that's the idea. He says asi minog mavatel minog, and that's the ikar. So that's it. Anyone say you could be mekel? Whatever. So it's even though people say it's a tainus sadikim, lo yit aneh. So again, he quotes a sefer that says they should not fast. All right. Again, I don't know exactly what the minhag is, but I would imagine most people, are happy not to fast the day of their wedding. But mainstream Mishnah Berurah Ramah was what? That you at least have the right to fast or are encouraged to fast on the day of your wedding. Okay. So what we got to talk about now, we'll do some Aruch HaShulchan, unbelievable Aruch HaShulchan, then we'll try to get back to some Hilchas Avelus that comes up in Hilchas Nisan. We got to talk about the halacha known as Birchas Ilanos, making the bracha on the fruit trees in Nisan. So the Aruch HaShulchan is the one who really goes back to that yesod we were saying before. He says, why is Nisan such a big deal? He says, well, that's when Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. And what happened then? We realized how amazing Hashem was. And he paid the Rishayim what they deserved. So we really kind of found Hashem in the month of Nisan, right? And he says, do you know why Hashem chose Nisan? Because Paro worshipped what? A lamb. What is the zodiac of the month of Nisan? The lamb. If you look at the Torah, Paro gave up after Makas Barad. He says, Hashem HaTzadik V'ani V'ami Arishim. And then he changes his mind. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, do you know why he got the strength to change his mind? Because he said, Nisan's coming. And because Nisan's coming, my God will save me from the Hebrew God. So as long as I hold out till Nisan, I'll be fine. So why do we bring a Korban Pesach? Hashem said, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, it's your month, not Paro's month. You shecht his God on that month. Unbelievable. And you know what the Aruch HaShulchan says? Mipnei Gedulat HaChodesh HaZeh, because this month is so great, that's why the Mishkan was inaugurated in this month. So what was the first, the chicken or the egg? He says, because we were freed in Nisan, the month became this month where we have this recognition of Hashkacha, of Hashem. And that's why we get the Shechina in that month. It's the same thing. We find Hashem. and his Lasid Lavo, the base of Migdash, will be built in Nisan. Wow. Unbelievable idea. Okay. So you can argue that even before Yetzias Mitzrayim, why did God choose to take us out in that month? You could say, okay, already from the beginning of creation, there was something built into the month of Nisan. You have to go, you know, you go deeper and deeper. But ultimately, it's a beautiful Aruch HaShulchan where he says there was a religious war that was represented in the month of Nisan, and because we found Hashem in that month, so that's where we get the Shechina, the Avar, and Behove, B'meir V'yameinu, with the third base of Mikdash. Okay, he quotes the Halachas of Nisan. He also says that a Chassan, B'yom Chupaso, Yachol, Lisanos, has the right to fast. Not necessarily the obligation, but he says it's a thing. Okay, now you can ask, he says, what about after Pesach's over? Why is the whole month transformed? The whole month, you can't eulogize. The whole month? Well, after Pesach's over, he says, well, you know, the first answer of the Magen Avraham that we quote from the Shabura, once you have the majority of the month, the whole month is a holiday. But he says, I already explained to you, the whole month is a special month because this is the month that God appeared to us and did all the miracles. So the whole month has a halachic status. So that's the Aruch HaShulchan's answer, that the reason we wouldn't say Tachnun and we don't eulogize and all those other things is because the whole month is a month where we have a greater recognition of the Shechina. Unbelievable. And that goes back to that original point where we said, why is the Chodesh Hazeh Lachem like such a big deal? Is it because of the Mishkan? Or is it because of the holiday Pesach? It's all the same thing. Pesach is a big deal because that's where we discovered Hashem's Hashkacha. He is with us. He will punish the bad people. And what's the Mishkan all about? Recognizing the presence of Hashem. So it's all the same. It's all the same. And that's why the Navi Yechezkel puts it all together. Okay. So let's just talk a little bit of practical halachas before we get to the Avelo stuff. So if you see a tree in blossom and it bears fruit, you make a bracha. Has anyone ever made this bracha before? Anyone ever see a fruit tree? So it's a Gemara brachos. Hayotze b'meidisa, it says the Shulchan Aruch. And you see fruit trees in blossom. You say, Baruch Hashem, l'kinam ha'chalam shalom chisa b'lamo klum. Hashem did not leave anything out of this world. You know, basically it's a beautiful bracha praising Hashem and his creations. Does it need to take place in Nisan? Says the Mishabur, no. Why does Shulchan Aruch, why does the Gemara say Nisan? Because that's often the time when trees blossom. That is spring. But, says the Mishabura, it could be in Iyar or Sivan, whenever the fruit blossom. That is when you would make the bracha. Who disagrees with the Mishabura? Kav HaChaim. Kav HaChaim quotes many Svarim, including the Birkei Yosef, which hold that, no, it's like a Nisan bracha. This is not for Iyar. This is a Nisan bracha. Halachically, again, I assume we would hold like the Mishabura, that although there might be like an advantage to making this bracha in Nisan, and that's where it comes up in Shimon Eider Sefer, he has it in like Hilchos Pesach, but in Shulchan Aruch, it's in Hilchos Brachos. It's not necessarily linked to Nisan, but it's brought down, Hayotze Bimei Nisan. Now again, you need to see fruit trees. You see the blossoming of a flower that will lead to a fruit. You make this bracha one time, and if you didn't see it, if you messed up, you make it once a year, V'mi'icha Levarech, and the fruit have already fully blossomed, you missed your chance. So the idea is, you lose the opportunity to make a bracha if the fruit already fully ripened. Wow. And Machlokas, all right. The Gra says, no, you didn't lose your bracha. But if it's mamish ripe, it's like ripe to the fullest degree, and you could already make a shachiyanu on it, it's like a new fruit, then you lose this bracha. Fascinating. You can make the bracha until it's already at achar shegadlo. Says Shulchan Aruch, if you forgot to, you can make it at achar even of at achar shegadlo perus. I'm sorry, you can't. Again, the Shulchan Aruch said you can't make the bracha anymore, but the Mishnah Berurah quoted people who are lenient up until the point that it's like fully ripened. Okay, beautiful. Machlokes, is it unique to Nisan or not? And the Rambam describes it as, you know, you're going out into the orchards. It's not, you know, but you know, minhag Klal Yisrael is that people with a fruit tree have like a way of like publicizing it. I grew up in Queens. I often learned in the Or HaChaim Yeshiva in Main Street. And right down the block, there was a beautiful fruit tree and there was a big sign with a bracha on it. And I did that many times. Simi Malin, also in Fair Energy in COVID in 2020. We took a big hike. My family and I, that was like the only thing you could do in 2020. It was outdoors. We made a bracha on her fruit tree in her backyard. And again, it's a beautiful thing that people who have fruit trees make a bracha. Again, there are technical halachas about it. You know, you need to see something and it can't be too late. All right, so again, we can learn more about it if you have a question. You know, there are ways to kind of mess this up. But ultimately, there's a concept of being inspired by Hashem's creations in the month of Nisan. Beautiful. Okay. Now, when it comes to Hilchos Avelus, we have to understand that we don't usually eulogize in the month of Nisan. My wife's grandfather, Olav Shalom, he was Nifter Nisan after Pesach. And the funeral had no eulogies. Rav Alan Schwartz was like, it's Nisan, we can't really eulogize. He said a nice little thing about my wife's grandfather, but that was it. It was very efficient. Unfortunately, I had a very, very close friend who died tragically when we were in college. Very young man, very tragic, very sudden death. His funeral was Erev Pesach, very eerie day. It was also the day we made the Birchas Hachama, once every 28 years. Crazy day. The family, again, a crazy day. And Rabbi Weiss, of the Young Jews of Hillcrest at the time, he said, we're very limited in what we're able to do at this funeral. It's Erev Pesach, and it's Nisan, you know, you can't really just go on with eulogies right now. But again, one person spoke, it was very, very meaningful, but like, efficient. And the Prima Gadim points out that who's the exception? You can eulogize whom? A Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham, you can eulogize Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, even Erev Pesach, even in the afternoon, because you could also do it on Chol HaMoed. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva. Let's say someone dies and it's Chol HaMoed. Can the relative give a hesped on Chol HaMoed? So he says, yeah, probably, because listen, the Avel is really supposed to cry for 3 days. And so he argues, since you're supposed to honor your relative and even inspire others to cry, so he says, okay, he could probably also eulogize, but he's not confident. He says, I'm not sure. But ultimately, he thinks it's okay for someone to eulogize even on Chol HaMoed for a lost relative. Fascinating. All right, now the Mishnah Berurah will say that, what? We say Yizkor on Pesach. So wait a minute, why is it okay to do that? We just said we don't eulogize the whole month. So what's the deal with Yizkor? Why is Yizkor okay? Why is Yizkor not a eulogy? What's the difference? It's not a hesped, it's a tefillah. What's told Isser? We're not allowed to do things that will lead to like a lot of crying or something that would like detract from the spirit of the month of Nisan. Yizkor is more of a tefillah than like this emotional experience. Now, obviously, people can get emotional during Yizkor, but be'etzem, it's not a hesped, it's a tefillah. Beautiful. Okay. All right, let's just point out over here. So the Mishnah Berurah also points out in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh in general that we had this also, unfortunately, in our community. If there was a funeral on Rosh Chodesh, we don't do a spud. But unfortunately, there was a very tragic death in our own community, a very young individual. And what was the funeral? On Rosh Chodesh Elul. And because it was Rosh Chodesh, we also limited the eulogies. And says the Mishnah Berurah, Shafilu l'chacham afanav, even for a big gemarim, ein no'agim b'rosh chodesh lomar tzidek adin, but we darshan on him. If it's a big talmid chacham, again, there's going to be more leniencies. And also the funeral procession itself is different. What do we do at a funeral? We stop 7 times, right? What's that called? The ma'amados. But we don't do that when? We don't do that on the days that we don't say tzidek adin. Right, so it just should be noted that a funeral also might be officiated differently. And you know why we stop 7 times? Because there's a certain tumah, says the Shach. And by stopping, we have to get rid of the tumah. So I think it just goes well. In the same way that the Shechina is within Nisan, there's less tumah, there's more Kedusha, there's more Tahara. But at a minimum, we should be very excited to embrace the days of Nisan, of Rav Chodesh, of the Mishkan, of Pesach, where literally the Halacha is saying that you have to officiate a funeral differently because we have to be less concerned with tumah. We're all concerned with Tahara. We should all be Zocha to see the third base of Migdash with the Parah Aduma, with the ultimate levels of Tahara, Bimhera, V'Yameinu.